do that. If I could just get people to get just so sick and tired of being sick and tired and start doing it God's way and just say, you know what? I'm done doing it my way. Pastor said that's what the Word says. He showed me on the screen. I'm just going to do it the Word's way. When you get so sick and tired of being sick and tired, you'll dive in. Because you'll start to realize, hey, it ain't working my way anyways. I'm struggling and it's always frustration and spinning my wheels. I might as well try it. That crazy guy's up there screaming at the top of his lungs, telling me how good it is. I might as well try it. Praise God. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we worship you this morning. We magnify you and praise your name. Hallelujah. We glorify you. Now, Father, help us this morning. Lord, say what needs to be said. Do what needs to be done. Father, we look to you. We're not here because of a man or a name on a building. Father, we're here to hear from heaven. So, Father, speak through me. My words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. As I open my mouth according to your word, I thank you that you do fill it. I thank you fill it with boldness and utterance. And Father, I thank you that we hit bullseyes in every single person's heart here today. Whatever they're facing, whatever they're going through, whatever season they are in their particular life, Father, I thank you. You give them a word today that helps them. That helps them to grow and helps them to go forward into all that you have for them. Now, Father, we don't take this for granted. This isn't just another mundane Sunday service. This is an opportunity right now, if we'll be hungry for it, if we'll expect you to do this, if we'll sit on the edge of our seats spiritually and be ready to receive from you. This is an opportunity for our lives to be changed forever. So, Father, we give you the praise beforehand for all that's going to be said and done. And we thank you. We're never going to be the same. And, Father, we'll give you the glory. We'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you can go with me real quick to Joshua chapter 1 in verse 8. Remember, we're talking about being filled with God. Hopefully you remember. Amen. You know, really, if you'd have done what I said last week, you'd walk in here. This is how you'd walk in here spiritually. Oh, I'm so full. Right? Because we told you, feed on the Word. Spiritually, I hope you just had a spiritual bellyache this morning because you've just been eating so much Word, praise God. If not, start eating it. Glory to God. But we're trying to tell you, you know, we're a faith church around here. And we know how important faith is. Let me give you the quick rundown. The Bible says you can't please God without faith. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, if you need it. The Bible says you can't overcome without faith. That's 1 John 5 and verse 4. The Bible says we receive the promises of God through faith. That's Hebrews 6 and verse 12. The Bible says we quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one through the shield of faith. That's Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. There is so much the Bible says about faith. By faith are you, by grace are you saved, but it has to come through your faith. Amen? Hallelujah. And we also said this, it's not the things that we're doing right that are hurting us, it's the things we're doing wrong. It's our lack of belief. It's our blowing up the mountain so big and being afraid. It's our walking in anxiety, fear, worry, and depression, stress and sin and addictions and habits and things that have been plaguing us over and over. Those things are not helping us. But a lot of times Christians come up against these mountains, a mountain of addiction, a mountain of disobedience, a mountain of unfaithfulness, a mountain of fear and depression, anxiety, stress, and worry, a mountain of financial trouble that tries to make them afraid, a mountain of physical problems that try to make them afraid. And they get before that mountain, and instead of doing what David did and running towards the giant to take the giant's head off, they tremble, they get in fear, they get in condemnation, they start to worry. And we've seen in the Bible that when people enter into anything besides faith, they're kept out of their promises. The children of Israel, God laid out a promised land for them. He delivered them out of Egypt, not so they could be wanderers in the wilderness, not so they could struggle, but so that they could have their best life ever. Why do you think God delivered you from the hands of Satan? So you could have your best life ever. But those things that are before us, like the children of Israel, it's going to take faith to get into them. Remember in Hebrews chapter 3, it said they were kept out because of their unbelief. God didn't change his mind. It wasn't that the test was too hard. It was because they didn't have faith. And I said, the Lord revealed to me the thing that would solve all of our faith problems, all of our fear problems, all of our worry problems, all of our addiction problems, all of our disobedient problems, all of our unfaithfulness problems. If we would be filled with Him, we'll dominate in this life. Because God never struggled with any of those things. Jesus never struggled with any of those things. We see men and women of God in the Bible that came up against impossible things that would make anybody tremble and shake if you're not doing it in the way that God has it. And yet they were strong and they stood firm and they didn't quiver, they didn't tremble, they didn't shake. They went towards the problem, they defeated it, and they were victorious. But the common denominator with them was that they were filled with God. We cannot go through this life empty. We have to go through this life filled with Him. Why? There's an enemy that's at the doorstep of every single thing that we're trying to get into that's causing us problems. He'll work sickness in our lives. He'll work job problems. He'll work relationship problems. He'll work through people. He'll work through situations to try to attempt to get you out of a place of faith. Try to move you off a place of faith. Why? The place of faith is a place of victory. Anything else but faith is not victory. And so we're trying to help you. And we saw last week, we gave you two things to start practicing, to start putting to play in your life. And if you'll do them, praise God, you'll be blessed. I remember one minister, they were having, I think it was blood pressure issues. I can't remember specifically, but I'll give you the gist of the story. And they went to the doctor, and the doctor told them, do this. It was exercise, diet, certain things. They came back 6 months later and checked whatever they needed to check. And the doctor sat there and looked amazed. And the doctor said, what? And the minister that was in the doctor's office was like, what? I don't understand. Why are you so surprised? Because the doctor was just amazed. Wow. And they said, what's going on? Everything's fixed. What did you do? And the person there said, just what you told me to do. If you'll do what I tell you to do, of course, if it's found in the Word, that's how cults get started, by the way. Just listen to me. Just listen to me. Do whatever I say. No, listen to me if I'm preaching the Bible. Amen. Stick with the Word of God. But the things I gave you last week are recipes for victory for you. We told you this in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This is when Joshua was just replaced as the leader of the children of Israel. Moses had passed. Joshua was put into there. He's got that test of the promised land in front of him. And God told him in the verses before, He said, you need to be strong and you need to be courageous. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this day and age, weak, wimpy, weasel-like, tail between your legs is not going to get the job done. Strong and courageous people enter into the land. So He told Joshua, you want to enter in the land, Joshua? You're going to have to be strong and courageous. Well, it's one thing for God to tell us that. It's another thing for God to tell us that's what we need to be, but then tell us how to do it. And thank God He does. He said, be thou strong and courageous. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shalt meditate therein just on a Wednesday night and a Sunday morning. Nope. He said, day and night, to get into some of these things that we're going to go before, we're going to have to start doing some things day and night. Doesn't mean you fill up your whole life from the time you get up till the time you go to bed. God understands you have a family. God understands there's recreation. God understands you have a job. But there's things that we can do to bring the Word of God into our life so that it's before us day and night, all the time. He said, day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then and not before then. Joshua, your courageousness and your strength is not going to come before you do this. Well, whose job was it to do it? It wasn't God's. Yeah. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And God's saying, oh, me. You. He said, then shall I make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just wondering, don't raise your hand, tell on yourself. But who took that to heart? Who didn't touch their Bible all week long? Who's starving this morning in their spirits? Because I'll tell you what, if you ate last Sunday after church, and then you came in here and haven't eaten a meal, boy, I'll tell you what, you'd be feeling it this morning. You'd be weak, you might be sick, you might be grouchy, you might be tough to talk to and be around, you might get a headache, you might faint and pass out if you haven't eaten since then. Well, how many of your spirits are so sickly and weak right now because you're not feeding on the Word? But yet you're expecting to be strong. Come on. It's like a bodybuilder expecting to put on muscle and to get stronger and to lift these, you got to keep lifting heavier weights to get bigger muscles. And they, okay, I'm going to go up in weight, but I'm not going to eat for 2 weeks. Good luck with that. You're going to walk in so frail and so weak and not be able to do anything. But no, I want to defeat the devil and get into everything God has for me, yet my spirit is starving. And that's where you're going to dominate from, is the spirit man. Well, he gives you the recipe. He says, get in my word. Feed on my word. Turn your car into a Bible school. Turn your home into a Bible school. Download the messages off live stream. Put them on an MP3 player. Put them on your phone. Put them on whatever you have. And listen to the word, praise God. Get in the word before bed. Get in the word when you wake up in the morning. What are you doing? You're strengthening and feeding your spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that was one way. And then we said praise was the other way. We don't have time to turn there. But remember over there we said this about praise. Praise is the vehicle that picks God up and brings him to the scene. Amen. Remember over there in 2 Chronicles, the Bible said as the singers and trumpeters began to sing and to play their instruments of music, when they did that, the glory of the Lord filled the house with a cloud so much so that the ministers couldn't even stand. Well, that glory of the Lord didn't come in until they started praising. That's why I'm so big on praise, praise, praise. We need to worship in this church. Why? God responds to that. When you start praising, it's like sending a spiritual Uber driver to pick him up. God gets in and comes to the scene. And when God shows up on the scene, things change for the better. Amen. Amen. We saw when Joshua went in, the first city that he had to take was Jericho. And he stood at the walls of the city. You know, the same walls that scared them 40 years ago. The same walls that they said they couldn't go over 40 years ago. He stood at them. And the Lord said, when you lift up your voice and shout and begin to praise, he said, do that after you've encompassed that place. You get there and you stand before the walls and you shout and you shout and you shout and you praise. Why was God saying that? Because God knew, if you'll praise, you're sending a vehicle to pick me up. It's going to cause me to be on the scene. Remember, he said, I inhabit or I dwell in the place of my people where they praise. When we praise, the manifested presence of God shows up. So that's two references. And then we saw over there in Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas were at midnight in a prison, naked and beaten, their clothes stripped off of them for doing the work of God. They were not in prison moping and groaning and griping and complaining. They were not there doubting and unbelieving and in fear. The Bible says at midnight they prayed and sang praises unto God, so much so that the prisoners heard them. And what happened? And then the power of God came in that place and broke them loose. Didn't happen before then. The walls didn't come down before them. The glory of the Lord didn't come in before them. You want to be filled with God? Start putting praise in your mouth. Walk your house. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Oh, I worship you, Father. I glorify you. You're stirring things up. And that's God. God's just on his way. On his way to your situation. Amen. There was one person. There was one minister who had a vision, and in the vision, this was years ago, she had a vision, and visions are biblical. We'll probably see that today, maybe in a second we'll look at some of those things. But anyway, she saw a vision. In the vision, she saw a scale, and in one place there were people's prayers, and it was piled up high. I think it was weights or something, piled up high, and in the other was people's praise, and it was way out of balance. And the Lord spoke to her and said, the reason why a lot of people don't get their prayers answered, he said, when their praise equals their praying, it'll work for them. When they're praying, the problem is people don't praise. People, and most of the time, let's face it, people pray out of desperation. They pray out of doubt and unbelief. They pray out of worry. Listen, don't go to a place of prayer out of worry. God says, approach me with boldness. But you need to be praising. So I'll tell you, if you didn't listen, didn't do what the doctor said, you know, the spiritual doctor said last week, go home and start. Get in the Word and start praising God. And remember, we said you're not going to feel like it. The Bible says your flesh and your spirit are in a war. They're battling. Your flesh is not going to want to pray. Your flesh is not going to want to praise. Your flesh is not going to want to turn the TV off and spend time in the Word, or wake up a little bit early and spend time in the Word, or maybe turn off your ungodly music that you're filling your ears with on the way to work. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. This is by the Spirit of God. I didn't say this last night. Faith cometh by hearing. Oh, it's just music. It is. It's hearing. Jesus said, be careful what you hear. You hear sad and lonely and depressed and it's hard, and you keep filling yourself up with that. That's where your faith's going to be. I don't know who that's for, but whoever it is, just say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Pastor's helping me. Hallelujah. Maybe you don't feel like turning that off and putting the Word on. Maybe you don't feel like, well, it's not about feeling like it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know that show, The Biggest Loser? And, you know, people that have struggled with weight problems, you know, they're very unhealthy. And, you know, maybe some of their stories are so sad. You know, they're on the verge of maybe having a major medical condition which could hurt them. And so they get them with some trainers. And the trainer says, hey, if you'll do this and this, if you'll do this and this, it's going to work for you. And the ones that do it, right, we end up seeing over time, they lose the weight, they get healthier, their blood pressure goes down, all sorts of good things start happening. But you know what? They don't feel like stopping to eat that bad food. They don't feel like getting on that treadmill and sweating until they almost puke their brains out. There's nothing about it that feels good. But they know the benefits, and they know it works, and so they do it and stick to it, and at the end they see the results. You might not feel like praying and praising and worshiping God and getting in the Word, but I'll tell you what, it'll benefit you. And your life will be different. Why? Because your life will now be filled with the power of God. Amen? So that's what we looked at last week. So now go with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. How many of you would like to say, I would love to be filled with the power of God in this life? I mean, who wouldn't? We see God's power move. There's nothing that could stop it. Nothing that could come against it. Acts chapter 1, in verse, we'll go to 4 for time's sake. It says, and being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, commanded, everybody say commanded. You know, we are big on thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, yada, yada, yada. Oh, we hold firm to those. I mean, people protest and fight to have monuments for those things. Well, how many of you know anything that God tells you is a commandment in His Word? None of His Word is optional. Amen? He says to the disciples, I command you that you should not depart from Jerusalem. This is after He had died and rose again. And He's getting ready. He had shown Himself alive to people. And He's getting ready to go back up with the Father. And we see later in this chapter that He does depart out of their sight and goes to sit at the right hand of the Father. He said, being assembled together with them, He commanded, not suggested, not gave them some encouragement. No, He said, boys, girls, don't not do this. He commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now here's what's important and what we're going to look at today and the thing you need to recognize. He is speaking to born-again believers. What's a born-again believer? Somebody that has made Jesus the Lord of their life. How does one get saved? Well, Romans 10 tells us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen? It's that simple. Well, the disciples had to confess with their mouth that Jesus was Lord and believe in their heart that God raised Him from the dead for them to be saved as well. Well, He appeared to them, so they knew He rose from the dead. So they were born again. They were already Christians. Yet God tells them through Jesus, says, do not leave Jerusalem, Christian, until you get the extra thing that you need. Now go with me to verse 8. Why is this important? But you shall receive power. You know what that word power is? It's the Greek word dunamis, where we get the root word for dynamite. Explosive power. So God's telling them, don't leave until you get this. And when you get this, you'll be endued with power from on high. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and to all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, let's take a look at, sometimes I like to look at things practically and common sense-wise, just look at things. What if they would have said, I'm good, I got my own plans, I'm going to do it my own way. They would have walked out without power. They would have been powerless had they not done what Jesus said to do. Now let's look at over here in Acts chapter 2 where it actually happened and they received the power that we're talking about here. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, remember God says, don't leave until you receive this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they were all filled with God, or the Holy Ghost, and began, that means it goes together, when they were filled, something happened. There was a response to being filled, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now please flip over to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 22. I want to explain something. We all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different churches. We all come from different families that have told us things. But here's my challenge to every single person here today. No matter what you brought into this church, no matter what you came here with, can we first all admit that we don't know everything? I admit that. Praise God. There was a whole lot that I found out that my theology, my doctrine was wrong coming into a church that taught the Bible. I came from a church that taught traditions and things of men, and you couldn't find it anywhere in the Word of God, and they didn't preach the Bible. You just kind of bought it hook, line, and sinker. And then I came to a Bible teaching church, and it challenged some of my thoughts. It challenged some of the way my flesh felt. But how many of you know our job is not to make the Bible to conform to us? Our job is to conform to it. Amen. And there's no doubt that things will challenge your mind and your flesh. Remember over there in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's around the fourth chapter, where he says the things of the Spirit are foolishness to people. The mind and the flesh will not understand the things of the Spirit. But the way we're kept safe in a church is bring everything back to the Word. Now we just mentioned that Jesus said don't leave without the Holy Ghost. And we saw the Holy Ghost be poured out upon them. And we saw the response of the Holy Ghost being poured out upon them is they spoke with other tongues. Now that word tongues, it elicits so many different ideas, thoughts, and feelings in churches. Whether because you heard someone say it, maybe you had a bad experience in a church where it was just craziness and chaos. Whether you grew up at a church that just never taught it and it's totally foreign to you. Either way, that word always elicits some sort of a feeling and some sort of response in churches. The word tongues. Now, what does the Bible say about this? But the first thing I want you to see that the Bible does say about it, look what it says in verse 22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Now, this is what I want you to see in verse 23. If therefore the whole church, now he's talking to the Corinthian church, if therefore the whole church come together in one place and all speak with tongues. Now why I'm doing this is I'm showing you there are three types of people when it comes to the subject of speaking in tongues. And the Bible clearly defines and labels those three types of people. So when I read this, you need to find out and locate which one of these are you. He said, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues. So there's the first category of people. People that are in church, that know about it, that actually have partaken and speak with tongues. And he said the whole church. And you're going to find out over the next few weeks. It's available to everybody, and that's what the Word says. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. The point is, he said, if the whole church does that, so number one category of people are people that know about it and that are doing it. The second category of people are, he said, if they come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers. So now he says there's two more types of people when it comes to the topic of tongues. There's unbelievers, which are people that have never received Jesus. They don't know anything about anything. They're not born again. They've never been taught the Word of God. That's a category of a person that could walk into a church. But there's also a person that could be in the church that's speaking in tongues and knows about it. But there's also a third category of person, which I was in as a Christian, which a lot of people find themselves in, and maybe some of you even here today, I don't know everybody's background are in, where he calls them unlearned. Well, they're not unbelievers, they're Christians, they're born again, but they're unlearned in the subject or the area of speaking in tongues. So why did I say, let's be humble and let's throw away what our previous ideas were and understand that when it comes to this topic, we might be in the unlearned category. We might not know everything about it. And again, let's find out what the Bible says about it. But it is entirely possible to be a born-again believer and know nothing about the subject of tongues. I lived it. My family members live it. Friends and family live it. I'm just telling you. Now, before we go forward and explain some things, I want to point out, because this is going to be a 2 or 3 week series to help people. Because I'm here to tell you, I'm going to give you some examples in a second. Being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues is the single greatest thing that's ever happened to me personally and for my ministry apart from being saved. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. Again, we're going to talk about it and we're going to explain it all. We're not going to leave any stone unturned. Because why? We want to help people. Because if it's in the Bible, we want it. If it's God, we want it. But we have to rightly divide the word. If you can rightly divide the word, you can surely wrongly divide the word. There's the ditch on either side of the road. One side of the road with tongues is everything is tongues and everybody's hyper-spiritual and people are swinging from the chandeliers every service and it's chaos and there's no order. That's a ditch. But there's also another ditch that it's like the Father, woohoo! The Son, woohoo! And the Holy Ghost. Shh, don't talk about the Holy Ghost. Let's go dive in this ditch. The Holy Ghost makes people uncomfortable. No part of God should make anybody uncomfortable. The only reason we're uncomfortable is because maybe we're ignorant to it. How many of you know a lot of times what people aren't up on, they're down on? You know, we get so many things. Why? It's been so abused and so either mistaught, not taught at all, or so abused, not biblically down the center of the road. And you say, Pastor, well, what makes you the authority? Well, if I stick with the Word, that makes me the authority. Amen, because the Word is my authority. If we can see it in the Bible, it's kind of like someone that would come to me and say, and I'd say, okay, the John Deere manual says to add this amount of oil. Well, what makes you the expert on John Deere? The manual does. The manual said to add this amount. Amen. Always bring it back to the Bible. Amen. Praise God. So it's entirely possible. But now go back with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Thank you for putting up with my craziness. Woo! Praise God. Amen. Jesus in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 commanded them. Now, for those of you that already partake of this, I'm trying to not only enlighten people that don't know, but light a fire under you to see how important this is. I forgot, hold your place there and go to 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, Michelle, I told you to go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. I want you to see something. If there's any billboard for the subject of speaking in tongues, that weird thing that we've kind of heard a little bit about or something, or we've had a little experience with somebody telling us about it or people being down on it. If there's any billboard for it, it's this verse. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. This is the Apostle Paul. Who's he? The guy that wrote 2/3 of the Bible we're preaching this morning. The one that Jesus personally took to Bible school and told him about the revelation of righteousness, the revelation of the authority of the believer. You know the guy that was chosen, hand-picked by God to pave the way that we're still living off today? He said, I thank my God. He wasn't shy about it. He didn't try to sweep it under a rug and, oh, don't talk about that. No, no, no. He stood up and declared for the world and eternity, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. One translation says, more than you all combined. The greatest natural human being to walk the face of the earth that did the most for God ever, got the most revelation that we're feeding off today, said, I pray in tongues all the time. Yeah. But yet, what are the thoughts we've heard? Oh, it's not for today. Oh, it's of the devil. Oh, that's just hocus pocus babbling. And I thank my God. The guy that dominated, who was in prison rejoicing, said, I thank my God. Well, you'll see why at the end of this little series that we're doing, why speaking in tongues will enable somebody like him to write from prison, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Amen. So now Paul says that. Your pastor has said, this is just kind of the appetizer or the preview for this, to get you excited about this. Your pastor says the greatest thing apart from salvation ever happened to him is praying in tongues. Just so you know, Your pastor was a tongue-talking on his way to church this morning. Just so you know, he was a tongue-talking and in his house last night, getting myself so jacked with God to come in here and deliver it to you, praise God. John G. Lake, ministry, if you're not familiar with him, man of God, signs, wonders, and miracles, 100,000 confirmed medical healings, confirmed by doctors, in 5 years of his ministry. I believe it was, and it was back during the bubonic plague, and it's confirmed through multiple sources that they put some bubonic plague in it. They put it under a microscope. They got it from people that had the disease through their saliva or whatever, put it under a microscope, and they could see all the organisms living and moving. And he said to them, he said, put that in my hand and you'll see the power of God kill that thing. I said, oh, we can't do that. We can't do that. We can't do that. You'll get sick. No, no. He said, put it in my hand, put it in his hand, put it back under the microscope, and it was all dead. He said, the power of God will keep me. Now, what I say is 100,000 healings in 5 years, confirmed healings. You know what he said? He said, the making of my ministry has been praying in tongues. Smith Wigglesworth, early 1900s, apostle over there in England, who signs, wonders, and miracles. We've read some of his books. We've talked about him, the miracles that guy had, the power of God that flowed through his life. He could barely read and write. He was an uneducated man. You know what he said? He said, I am one of the biggest conundrums there are because I can't hardly read or write, but yet these things flow out of me. He said, the secret to my success has been praying in tongues. Should not surprise us when the greatest Christian of all time says, I do it all the time. There must be a reason. Yes. Amen. Amen. Kenneth Hagin, I went to his Bible school. He said, tongues is the doorway to the supernatural. You want to see the supernatural start operating in your life? Paul had the supernatural popping like popcorn in his life. Yes. Amen. That's what Paul was doing all day long. Hallelujah. To say you do it more than a church combined, Brother Hagin said, it's the tongues, the doorway of the supernatural. He said, my biggest financial breakthroughs came after prolonged periods of praying in tongues. Pastor Nancy Dufresne, of course, she comes into the family churches. And if you're newer with us, you'll become more acclimated with these ministers. They're powerhouses for God is who they are. She was engaged to be married to someone that wasn't the plan of God, and that thing broke off, and she was heartbroken, and she took 3 weeks and prayed in tongues. And it was shortly after that she met her husband that propelled her into her ministry of over 20 years in hooking up with Dr. Dufresne, her husband Ed Dufresne. And she says, that was all worked out during that time where I took time to pray in tongues. So I just want to say, let's be people that can admit the Bible says that we might be unlearned, and that's okay. Everybody's ignorant until they're not ignorant anymore. Amen? Everybody is ignorant until somebody shows them. And so don't tune me out. Don't say, oh, he's talking about that tongues business. All of you have been here. You see, we're an orderly church. We're not some crazy weirdos that go outside the Bible. In fact, I stick with the Word of God. Why? That's how you can stay safe. Amen? But we're going to look at some things. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then we saw in Acts chapter 2 how the Holy Ghost came upon them. It caused them to speak in tongues. Now, this is what we're going to do next week for a preview. Next week, I'm going to show you through 4 or 5 places in the Bible that are so clear as day that when a person is filled with the Holy Ghost, the evidence of that is always speaking in tongues. Now, again, don't get offended. Don't say, well, he's saying I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not filled with God. You are to a measure. But if you're not praying in tongues, you're not filled to the brim of where you could be. And again, let the Word explain that. Now again, I've been accused of saying if you don't speak in tongues, you don't go to heaven. That's a lie. You absolutely go to heaven if you don't speak in tongues. You have to be born again to speak to go to heaven. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So let's get that out of the way. It doesn't mean you're less loved by God if you don't speak in tongues. Don't go spreading rumors about me. It's not nice. God doesn't love you less. You're not any less a part of the family of God. But the one thing that you don't have if you're not filled is you are walking around powerless. The same way he told the disciples, if you go out without this, you're going to be powerless. Think about Peter when he got filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. He was one of those people. The weasel Peter that wouldn't even admit that he knew Jesus, the night Jesus was taken captive, a little girl came to him and said, "You were with him?" He said, "No, I wasn't. I don't know him." Denied even knowing Jesus. Didn't Jesus tell him he would do that? Denied him. And now, when Peter gets filled with the Holy Ghost, read the story in Acts chapter 2. People started making fun of them, mocking them, said, "Oh, they're drunk. They're filled with new wine." And Peter said, "They're not drunk as you suppose. It's only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, my spirit, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh." He was bold and a lion. He was changed. Why? Powerless, powerful. Powerless, powerful. "Oh, pastor, I want to be so filled with power. I want to do the things of Paul. I want to do the things of Peter." They were tongue talkers. You know what really, I can say this because my wife came from this, and this is not a dig or anything, wonderful people. My wife came out of the Catholic religion, Catholic faith. But you should see the Catholic's expression when I tell them, you do know Mary was a tongue talker. Mary was one of the 120 in the upper room when the Holy Ghost came and said they all spoke with tongues. Mary was a shalababber. That's my way of talking in tongues, I guess. I don't know. She was. She was. Religion won't teach you this stuff, but that's what the Bible says. I want to be like these people. I want to be powerful. I want to walk through the test of trials. Well, then you got to do it the way God says to do it. You can't just expect it to happen. You need to lay your religious thoughts aside or whatever you don't know and just say, "Okay, fill me up, Pastor. What's the Bible say?" So what I want to show you today in the short time that I have, we won't take a lot of time doing this because I've been going way too long lately. I try to get you out of here before 11:30, but sometimes just things happen. Beyond my control, praise God. But we're trying. We're trying anyways. Hey, there we go. See, I paid him before service to say that. You know that people have accused me of paying my ushers to amen me. Have I ever paid you? Have I ever paid you to say anything? My God, get those thoughts out of your head. Hallelujah. Don't come down on them because they're loyal and faithful and hungry for the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just messing around with people. Anyways, so what I want to show you today is that there is a separate experience available for the believer apart from salvation. You're going to see clearly in the Word that people were born again yet needed something else. I've already showed you one place. They were born again and yet Jesus said, "You still need to get something." But I thought you got all the Holy Ghost you're ever going to get at the day of salvation. Yeah, a lot of people think that. And then they go forward without power. But God says you need to wait for the promise of the Father. You need to experience the promise of the Father for you to have power. So I want to show you in the Bible. Go with me to Mark chapter 16. So that's one example where we see the 120 who were all born again, yet Jesus said, "That's not all you need. You need more." Mark chapter 16. Now just in case you think, well, because I know how religion works. I used to be a part of it. You'll say to yourself, "Well, that was for the early church. That was for them. Why would God give them power and not give us power? Why would God set..." It'd be like sending, when Abby goes to school next year, it'd be like sending Caleb to school with lunch money, but saying, "Abby, nope, you're going without, figure it out yourself. You'd call me an unjust daddy." So God's going to give them power, but leave his children nowadays powerless? That's stupid. That's stupidity. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. He said unto them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Now look at this. "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Well, you could say it this way. These signs won't follow them that don't believe. "These signs will follow them that believe." Look at this. "In my name they shall cast out devils." Now look at this. "They shall." Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is red letters. We can believe the red ones. This is Jesus. That's sarcasm. You can believe the whole Bible, but you know the red letters stand out to you. "They shall speak," what? "The believers with new tongues." What's new mean? It's never been seen before. It's never been heard before. It's not French. It's not English. It's not Spanish. It's not German. It's not Dutch. It's not Swahili. It's not Portuguese. It's not anything else but brand spanking new. And Jesus said these signs, one of the signs that will follow a believer is they'll speak with new tongues. Amen. It's the truth. But you got to believe. If you don't believe in it, it won't work. It's like you don't believe in healing, you won't be healed. You don't believe prosperity? You won't walk in that. So that's two places where Jesus said the believer will do. Now go with me to Acts chapter 8. Are you ready to see the word? Because maybe you're here this morning. I don't know everybody's background. But maybe you're here this morning and you are born again. You've accepted the Lord. I'm here to tell you there's so much more than that. That was for your eternity. The salvation was for your eternity. The Holy Ghost was for your days on the earth. To be filled with power to do. Remember, he said, you'll be endued with power on high, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He's saying, you need power before you're going to go out and tear the devil's kingdom up. That's what he said to him. Yeah. Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. Now look at this. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received, that's a region, not a person, a region, Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. So the Bible says that the Samarians, the apostles in Jerusalem, they heard, hey, the Samaritans, they heard the word and they received it. That means they accepted Jesus, and we're going to see in the next scripture, coming scriptures, that they did. He said they sent them Peter and John. So Peter and John, they get a text message that says, hey, the Samaritans have received the word. They got born again. The first thing the apostles do at Jerusalem is say, we got to send Peter and John to them. Well, why are they sending Peter and John to them? Verse 15. Who when they were come down, prayed for them. Who's the them? The ones that have already received the word of God. The ones that were already born again. That they might receive the Holy Ghost. Wait a second. I thought when you got born again, you received all the Holy Ghost you're ever going to need. Apparently not. The first thing they did said, Peter and John, go. Go give them what you got. They need the power too. Verse 16, notice this. For as yet, this is the smoking gun scripture to let people know there's a separate experience apart from salvation. For as yet he was fallen, the Holy Ghost, upon none of them. Only, everybody say only. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now that only is a big only, and that's a good only. But he's not saying only to demean it. He's just saying that's all that happened. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What's that mean? They became Christians. They were born again. They received the word of God. They got saved. They were told, hey, this Judaism thing, it's not the way. Jesus is the way, praise God. And they received it, but yet they sent Peter and John because the Holy Ghost hadn't fallen upon them yet. Just the same way when they got born again, they had to wait for the Holy Ghost to fall upon them as well. For he had only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Woo! Then, verse 17, they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not going to go any further, but next week you're going to see that tongues was absolutely the evidence that they got the Holy Ghost. But we're going to dangle that out for you till next week. But go back to verse 16. That just shows you that when they got born again, they sent them immediately. Because Peter and John knew that when you get born again, that's not it. We got to go give them more. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go to Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Again, if you're here and you don't know anything about this, we're trying to show you there's such a more powerful life filled with God to help you just go through. I'll tell you, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues, the word became more alive to me than ever before. Supernatural things started popping. Hearing God's voice became so much more clear. It's just, when you see the benefits of what this, why do you think they would send them right away? They knew the benefits. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1 says, Saul, now this Saul guy we're talking about, name was changed to Paul, and he's the writer of the Bible. But look what Saul used to be. Breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, that if he found any of this way, what way? The way of Jesus. Saul was a follower of Judaism to the law, to the letter of the law. He was a Pharisee, the highest of the highest of Jews you could be. It says, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So Paul, or Saul at this time, was going forth and taking Christians, murdering Christians, breaking up families that believed in Jesus and bringing them to prison and desiring. He was requested of this. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he, Saul, the one persecuting the Christians, fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So now he has a spiritual vision, and Jesus is calling out to this man who's persecuting Christians. He's fallen to the ground. He's saying, Saul, Saul, why are you doing this to my church? When he said me, he's talking about the body of Christ. He said, verse 5, who are you, Lord? Are you the Lord? He said in verse 5, and the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Now what that means is the prick against the goads. God had been working on Saul. Why are you doing this? Pricking his conscience. And Paul just kept going right through it. He said, it's hard to live that way. Amen. You ever been there? It's hard to live that way. And he said, in trembling and astonished, verse 6. Now here's what you need to know. There are different denominations and different faiths or whatever, or different denominations in the Christian faith, who have their different take on tongues. I prefer to take the Bible's take on tongues. But regardless of what anybody's minister's background, Protestant, Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Pentecostal, whatever you want to call yourself, all of the scholars in those faiths agree on one thing about verse 6. That verse 6 is when Saul became a Christian. When verse 6 is when Saul had his conversion to a Christianity. Whether you believe in tongues or don't believe in tongues, all of them share the sentiment. That's when Paul got saved. Because look at verse 6. It said, trembling and astonished, he said to him, Lord, now he refers to him as his Lord. What will you have me to do? He's confessing Jesus and believing in Jesus, and you would too if you had that experience. But he got born again in this verse. What would you have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told what you must do. Now, the Bible talked about that light blinding Saul. So the Lord says to Saul, now he's a born again Christian. He says, Lord, I'm yours. What do you want me to do? He's confessing himself as being a child of God, as a servant to Jesus Christ as Lord. He says, what shall I do? Jesus says, go into the city and it'll be told what you need to do. Now go to verse 10. And there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And to Ananias said the Lord in a vision. So now we're trying to keep all this straight to not confuse you. Now there's a man named Ananias. And he's getting a vision. And in the vision, the Lord says, verse 11, the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight Street, and inquire. I guess you got to go to Straight Street to get straightened out. That's where Saul got straightened out, was on Straight Street. Amen? Hallelujah. And inquired in the house of Judas, for there's one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's there praying. So now Jesus appears to Ananias in a vision and says, go to Damascus. There's a man there that's praying. His name is Saul of Tarsus. And he says to him, and verse 12 says, and has seen in a vision. He's telling Ananias, Paul has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in. So he's telling Ananias, Paul knows you're coming. I showed him in a vision. He said, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered and said, what we probably would say, my Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Basically, Ananias said, I don't want no part of this. I don't want to go near him. He takes people like me to prison. And he says in verse 14, and here he has authority from all the chief priests to bind all that call on your name. But the Lord said unto him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and children of Israel, yada, yada. He basically told him what his ministry was. Verse 17, and Ananias obeyed God, went his way, entered into the house. Now notice this. Putting his hands on him. Now listen to how he addresses Saul. What is the term of endearment that he uses? Brother Saul. Why are you pointing that out, Pastor Mike? They did not come from the same mother. They were not brothers by blood and by natural means. They were spiritual brothers. Just like all of us that are Christians are brothers and sisters in the family of God. You're not my brother naturally. You're not my sister naturally. But in the family of God, we're all brothers and sisters. Why is it important that you know that he referred to him that way? to show you that this guy is born again. This guy is a Christian. Amen? So he says, Brother Saul, the Lord... what the heck verse am I on? 17. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared to you in the way, as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and... Everybody say and. And be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Guess you don't get all that you need from God at the time you got born again. There's a separate experience. Last but not least, and we'll close down here, go to Acts chapter 19. Praise God. Isn't the word good? You know, when you divide the word rightly and look in context of what's being said, it takes the scariness out of it. It takes the ookie and the spooky out of it. Just stick with the Bible. And we're also in this series going to answer all the questions from the criticizers and the doubters who say, tongues has passed away. They try to pull out of Scripture and the Bible clearly says it hasn't. That tongues isn't for today. That they'll say tongues is of the devil. All these things we're going to clearly show you in the Bible if you'll stick around and listen. Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. Now look at this. If the other one in Acts chapter 8 was a smoking gun, this might be smoking gun part 2. You know, Leslie Nielsen and the naked guns, he didn't just have one of them. He had 2 naked guns, right? 2.5 or whatever they called it, 2.5. Well, this is the smoking gun 2.0. Praise God, amen. This is the upgraded version of the smoking gun. Of what? The smoking gun of what? To show people. Because so many people in religion, they'll fight you. They almost take it as you're saying you're less of a Christian. And they'll fight you so strong and say, don't you tell me I didn't receive all of God when I got born again. You received a measure of Him, but there's more. There's more, amen? And that more comes with power, glory to God. I don't know how many people have come out of churches like I came out of. And when you got filled with the Holy Ghost and praying tongues, the response is this. That's what I was missing my whole life. That's the thing that always seemed to be like when you'd pray and there always seemed to be more. I found what the more was. Yeah, power just flooded your life. But Acts chapter 19 and verse 1 says, it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Now, what's a disciple? A follower of Jesus. Now look at what Paul's question was to him. You see all these people returning the favor. Peter got filled with the Holy Ghost and they went and gave it to Samaria. Right? Paul gets filled with the Holy Ghost and now his first thing is, we got to deal with this getting filled with the Holy Ghost business. He said unto them, look at his question is, have you received the Holy Ghost, what's that next word? Since. What's that mean? After you believed? He said, I know you believed. We're going to find out, actually, they weren't even believers, but Paul was under the impression that they were. And so he's saying, if you're believers, there's a second experience that you need. He says, have you received the second part yet? Have you received the Holy Ghost? And they say what most of the body of Christ says. I'm not trying to come down on it, and I'm not trying to just paint a broad general stroke, but it's the truth. We have not even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, where she came from, where I came from, they know nothing about the Holy Ghost. They skip over these chapters and over these verses. It's uncomfortable for them to talk about. Why? They just don't know. But that's the response. We don't even know that there is a Holy Ghost. But yet Paul was saying, did you get him? Did you get him after you believed? So so here you are today, if you're here today, and you're in a position where you say, Pastor, I've not received the Holy Ghost since I believed. I've located myself. I'm in the unlearned category. Well, my encouragement to you is stay plugged in. See the Word of God. See what God has for you. Ride this thing out. Because I'll tell you what, these men and women of God that I mentioned, the greatest Christian ever bragged about it, and your own pastor is telling you, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life apart from salvation. Amen? Were you blessed today? Amen. Hallelujah. I remember this. When I followed this, I said, if there's more of God, I want it. I don't care what my head says. I don't care what my flesh says. If there's more of God, I want it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. Oh, we're so grateful and so thankful for such good listeners, such patient people, Father. We thank you. Now, Lord, this is a gift from heaven that you've given to people. And Father, I thank you through this series. People are going to learn that maybe don't know. And they're going to learn about this. And their lives are going to be changed. And people that do know about it, but maybe need the dust brushed off that and sharpened in that area and a fire lit under them. I thank you, Father. We're going to walk in the power of God. Yes, we can fill up with the Word. And yes, we can fill up with praising you. But Father, we can also go and tank up by praying in tongues and getting filled with power. So Father, I pray that everybody, under the sound of my voice, that their eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. Father, that they would not let religion and they would not let fears and worries drive them away, but they would say, okay, that might be uncomfortable, and this tongues talk, it might be something that I'm not used to and is weird to me, but I can't deny that Pastor showed me everything in the Bible, and I'm going to stick around. I pray they'd stick around, Father, and get the Word of God and hear the fullness of what you have to say on this subject. We just worship and praise you this morning. We honor you. Now, if I could ask a favor of everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. If you could say, Pastor, I don't know that I'd go to heaven if today were my last day on earth. Man, you can walk out of here and have that fear squelched and canceled off. Because the Bible says if you'll receive Jesus, eternity is your destination. It is not a fear or a worry that you have to have anymore. Receiving Jesus isn't about coming to church. It's not about having your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. It's not about giving a certain amount of money to charity. It's about what you've done with Jesus on the cross. Do you believe in Him? There's the qualifications to get in heaven. There's two of them. The first qualification is believing in Jesus. The second qualification is receiving Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you could say, Pastor, I do believe in the Lord. I believe He died and rose again, but I don't believe I ever officially asked Him into my heart. Listen, He stands at the door and knocks, ladies and gentlemen. He's not the SWAT team. He doesn't bust the door down. He waits for an invitation. You have to invite Him in. You say, well, I've been a good person. I've gone to church. That doesn't make you saved. You got to invite Him in. So maybe when I put it that way, I remember one time I was preaching, a lady had been in church for 2.5 years. She said, Pastor, I just thought by going to church and being a good person, I was saved. But you showed me that I have to be born again. You showed me I have to call on the name of the Lord. And she got saved. She's a great lady, great person, but she just never received Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, you can say, Pastor, I've never received Jesus. I've never accepted my heart. We won't embarrass you. Have you come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there anybody at all that wants to receive Jesus before we close this service? Just lift your hand high in the air. We'll have you put it right back down. Anybody at all want to receive the Lord this morning? Don't let pride get in the way. Don't let fear get in the way. This is between you and God. Nobody's looking around. Anybody at all before we close the service want to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior once and for all? Father, I don't see any hands in this building, so I trust that everyone under the sound of my voice in here is born again. But if by chance there's someone in this building or somebody listening right now on the internet or somebody listening in the future by the archives, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they make Jesus their Lord. Father, you've made it so simple. You said if we would just call on your name. If you're listening to me, you say, I do need to pray that. How do I even do that? What do I do? Just simply say, Lord, I do believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. That's you opening the door for him. When you do that, he'll come in and save you, forgive you of all your sins. Heaven will be your destination, and you'll become a child of God. If you prayed that for the first time, shoot us an email, give us a phone call, let us know. We'll get you hooked up in a Bible teaching church where you can learn all the wonderful things that God has for you. Can we just end the service by praising the Lord, putting our focus on him and just thanking him? Father, we love the word around here. Father, the world might be going the way opposite of the Word, and even some churches, they don't go the Word. They're afraid to preach these things because they're afraid their seats might empty. They won't talk about money. They won't talk about the Holy Ghost. They won't talk about sin because they don't want... But Father, we're not ashamed of your Word. We love your Word, for your Word is you, Father. So we magnify you this morning. We honor you and thank you for the place that we're going. We give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30, you are dismissed.